Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green, and I'd like to ask you a question and want you to really consider what I'm going to ask you very carefully. How badly do you want to stop abortion? How do you feel about it in your heart? Would you carry a sign in front of a clinic? Would you try to entice your senator to vote in a particular way if we could? What would you do if you could end abortion? How would you step up? I'm speaking with you today to ask you to consider a ministry called Preborn Clinics. They've got a very unique approach that's been proven extremely effective for dealing with young women in crisis. And what they do is pretty simple. They bring them into a clinic and they do an ultrasound and they introduce the new mom to be to her baby. She gets to see the life that she's carrying with her, and they provide hope, love, and even the gospel in action. So I'm asking you to join Preborn in helping more moms choose life. So here's the deal. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds. So in other words, 5 babies live. The deal right now that's working is they're going to double your gift. So in other words, 10 babies. I think that's a pretty good deal. You can donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Would you think about that abortion? Would you do something about it? I sure appreciate you even praying about it and thinking about it. Preborn.com. God bless you all. Well, hello again, everyone. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm really excited to have a studio guest. You know, I get all shook up when I get people to actually come and sit with me in the studio. I don't know how to take it. I'm used to talking to no one except my producer who makes faces at me. And, you know, that's another story. That's actually another podcast. I could tell you so many stories about how she treats me through the window. You won't believe what I have to look at. And I'm ducking tomatoes and things she throws at the window. It's just horrible. But I digress. Let me tell you about Donna Spark. She's my guest. She's here today. She's an evangelist with the Assemblies of God, basically. She's a good friend of Charisma's, and I'm excited to tell you that she's also on the Charisma Podcast Network. Her show is Navigating Life in the Spirit with Donna Sparks. And we get to talk with her about her books, about her show. That's what I want to talk about mainly, and talk about all the things that she's doing, that God's got her up to. I want to make sure that we have a real good feel for everything she's doing, because I want you to get to know her. And as you get to know her, I think you'll see what we see, that this is a woman of God. She's called, she's enabled, she's filled with the Spirit of God. And, you know, as an Assemblies of God evangelist, that won't surprise you. She's written books like Beauty from Ashes, My Story of Grace, No Limits, Embracing the Miraculous, and The Masquerade, Deception in the Last Days. We'll talk a little bit about all three of those. She's a highly sought-after speaker for women's conferences. You'll see why after you listen to her today. She does church services, retreats, revivals. I think she even does birthday parties. I don't know. We'll see if that's on her list.
Sure.
Donna travels extensively to minister in churches and other venues. She has a weekly podcast here on our network. She leads a vibrant and fruitful women's jail and prison ministry. I want to find out a lot about that, because those are rare, especially women's ministries in prisons. But I want to hear her tell us about what she's up to and what she's doing, because she has seen countless miracles in the lives of the ladies that she ministers to in jails. And that's exciting to me. I want to hear more. She boldly shares the Bible's unchanging truths with an intense desire to equip and encourage others to step forward into the things God's planned. Donna ministers with an emphasis, and this is what I like, she emphasizes the baptism in the Holy Spirit and has seen hundreds receive the Holy Spirit in her ministry. It just blesses me that someone's still praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit today in 2021. She's been married for 23 years to the love of her life. Well, I hope so, Brian. And they have 2 lovely young adult daughters. Donna and her family reside here in Lexington. She's got 1 daughter that's just graduating as a nurse and another daughter about ready to go to school. She's a wonderful singer and worship leader. We might hear a couple brags on those two today if we can get her to talk about them. So without further yapping on my part, let's get Donna talking. Donna Sparks, welcome to the Green Lines Podcast.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on the show. And with all that you have said about me so far, I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say.
Well, I hope you have plenty to say. I'm going to ask you lots of nosy questions and we'll get you talking. But you know, the Lord has called you here, that this is a divine appointment, that He called you onto the network, that you've been seeing good things happen. You're beginning to get your sea legs on the network as a host and figuring all that out. So tell me what your husband thinks about all this with your busy ministry. I know he's downstairs in the lobby waiting for us to do our show. Tell me what he thinks about all you're up to.
I just think that he doesn't know what to think half the time.
That's okay.
He's been 100% supportive.
You have
and,
to have that.
Absolutely. And so he supports everything that I do. He's really involved in it.
Good. And your worship leading daughter's downstairs. Tell me about her.
Yes.
What's her name?
Her name's Hannah. Yeah. And she's leaving to go to the ramp, which is going to break my heart, but I'm thrilled for what God's going to do with her. I know.
You have to go visit.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Every
Where
weekend,
is it?
Probably. Alabama. So it's only a couple of hours from us, so it won't be that bad. But a
couple hours from Tennessee?
Yeah. Yeah. We live very close to the Alabama line. So it's just barely over the line. So if you Tupelo, Mississippi, and
been
then you're there. Yep.
Well, I went to school in Memphis, so I've been through Tupelo quite a few times, driving to somewhere.
Yeah.
Try not to stop there too often.
Yeah.
Just keep moving.
Yep, keep going.
All right. So obviously, before we get into the depth of who you are as a woman of God and as an evangelist, I know you're in the office of an evangelist, and I never know what to call an evangelist because I got pastors and prophets figured out an evangelist is a mouthful. So, but we know your office and we know that you've got to be called to that one. It's hard. There's a lot on you to do that. And we're going to get to some of the things you do with that mighty gift. But first, I want to hear about your testimony about how God arrested you and how you found out that you were to follow in the ministry.
Well, it's just amazing what God has done in my life. I give Him all of the glory for everything that He's
Good
done. But I started out, I was born and raised in church in the Assemblies of God.
Good.
But after I went
You're
through...
You're a PK, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not a PK, but I was just born
raised
in the church. Yeah.
Okay.
But I was divorced twice by the age of 23.
Okay.
And after that, I got really mad at God. And you know how the enemy really loves to push things off on God and say, it's all His fault, you know,
yeah.
He could have prevented this. And so it worked. I got mad at God, and I ended up turning my back on Him, became addicted to drugs and alcohol.
Oh, my goodness.
Made a terrible mess.
I didn't know
mess.
Any of these stories.
Yes. So made a terrible mess out of my life. And that's when I met Brian, who was agnostic. He didn't really even believe in God at that point. And I thought, well, the first two were supposed to be Christians, and that didn't work out well. So
that hurt you bad?
Yeah. I thought, how could this be any worse, you know?
That's sad.
But I was really depressed, mostly because of the alcohol. And
that'll do it.
Yeah. And I was spiraling out of control with depression, became suicidal. But Brian put up with all of that. He didn't understand the depression. He really had no idea what I was really experiencing, because we all know that when you kick God out of your life, there's a void there that can't be filled by anything else. And he was trying his best to make me happy, but you can't make a person happy that's lost the joy of the Lord.
That's right.
And so he didn't understand it. But miraculously, my doctor had told me that we wouldn't be able to have children.
Oh, my goodness.
And then shortly after that, I attempted suicide. God miraculously spared me. And 2 months later, I found out I was pregnant with my first daughter. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly when to move in, and He moved in a powerful way, because the night that I found out that I was expecting, when I went to bed, He began to come to me and just began to woo me back to Him, because He said, you're going to be responsible for someone else's life besides your own now, and what is that going to look like? And I remember thinking, my parents made sure I was in church every time the doors were open, and because of that, I know that no matter how hopeless I have felt, there is always a place that I can go, and that's the foot of the cross.
But your parents had great success raising you. You were fine, stable, right? Or was it just...
It
just took a while for all the rebellion to show up.
Yeah, it showed up after, you know, like I said, after I got really mad at God.
That's normal.
The way the enemy tricks us so many times. And but after that, you know, when the Holy Spirit began to deal with me, I said, well, I'm going back to church. And I told Brian, I said, I'm going to church this weekend. Would you want to go with me? And he said, sure. And I thought, well, that was amazing. And so,
did you go to an AG?
No, I wanted to go somewhere where nobody knew me.
Okay.
And so we went to a non-denominational church. And
this
you know how sometimes we think we'll just go slip into the church and sit on the back row and everything's going to be fine.
That's a lie.
Yeah. Apparently everybody had the same idea that morning because when we got there, the back row was full.
The Baptist showed up.
Yes. So we were sitting close to the front and that pastor was just reading my mail. And I was crying like a baby, and I thought, just hush.
Spirit-filled pastor?
Yes.
Yeah. He got you.
Oh, yeah. I thought, just give the altar call. And
let
so he did.
There.
And
he prayed with you?
Brian and I both went down.
Oh, my
and
goodness. Rededicated for
yes,
you.
Yes, and he received Jesus for the first time. So it was.
So was it life-changing?
Absolutely.
And were you pregnant at the time?
Yes.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Yep. So it started right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And now you have a good testimony about your girls.
Mm-hmm.
Have they done well and
yes,
as you raised
have.
Them? And obviously, one's going into ministry, one's a nurse. That's a ministry.
Yes, absolutely.
So good on you both. And your marriage has been strong for these years. You said you still love him. That's great.
Mm-hmm. We'll still put
progress.
Up with him, yeah.
These are, well, I don't know. We just have to be put up with. We're men.
Yeah.
That's it. So what else good is going on in your life now as a minister? I guess we ought to go and see what the impact was on your prison ministry. Do you feel like your struggles led you to go to these ministries and to help these women?
Yeah. After God called me into ministry, I was real excited about, you know, going to speak at churches and speaking for huge conferences and events like that. And that was all really exciting. But I still had this tug in my heart toward people that had been through it. And, you know, I started looking toward jail ministry, and God opened the doors. And what I am seeing happening in the jail right now is nothing short of miraculous. I mean, God is moving. We're seeing absolute revival in the jails right now. I go in, we have a worship service just like you would at church. And these ladies begin worshiping, tears rolling down their faces. They come to me for prayer. I lead them to Jesus. Some of them are just fall out in the spirit. And when they get up, they're speaking in tongues. It's just amazing how God is moving. There's physical healings happening in the jails just during the worship service. Nobody laying hands on them. Nobody touching them. They're just going all in, going after God, and then they're reporting these amazing healings in their body. And I'm telling you, if we could only find that kind of desperation in our churches, we would see revival.
So tell me about the stick when you do prison ministries. Does it stick with them? Do you see longitudinally that they stay with it after you're gone? And I mean, that's the hardest thing. They all look at salvation as a way out of jail, that, you know, they're desperate. And that's okay. God loves desperate people, however they're desperate from where. But do you see them forming groups and getting into Bible studies and growing and developing fruit?
Well, we work with them after they get out. So
amen.
We know that if they have to go into the same situation, you know, some of these ladies were living with drug dealers before they got into jail. And if and if they have to go back into that situation, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to end up right back in there. And so we try to work with several Christian organizations such as Teen Challenge and then the Dream Center. I work closely with the Dream Center because if they get in there, I get to see them Sundays at church because they come to our church. So it's really...
Dream Center does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. And I also preach at the Dream Center twice a month, so I get to see them there. So
and that's in your hometown.
Mm-hmm. In Jackson, Tennessee. So
in Jackson.
Yeah, really close by. So it's just been a great ministry. And, of course, there's still some that are always going to fall away. But what I have found is the ones that come in and they get baptized in the Holy Spirit.
That's it.
That's where the change takes place.
Does that happen much in prison ministry?
Yes.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
A lot.
And you're seeing signs, wonders, miracles.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's pretty good evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so does it make you wonder what's going on in prison that's not happening in our churches? And
I know.
What can we do?
I know exactly what's going on.
Come on.
They are desperate. They have tried everything that the world has had to offer them. And
you
it
were
hasn't
desperate
worked.
When you bowed again.
I was
again.
Desperate, yes.
When
I was
you came
desperate.
Back.
And I go in there, and the first thing I tell those ladies is, none of you here have done anything worse than I've done.
Good.
And they look at me like, yeah, right, you know.
Let me give you my list.
Yeah. And so I just begin to tell them what God's done in my life and where he's brought me from and the miraculous things that he continues to do. And as I share that with them, I see that glimmer of hope in their eyes, and they start seeking God. And when they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like they just want more and more and more. And so, and God's doing it. He's pouring it out.
So do you actually continue to go back, have worship services?
Mm-hmm. I go in every week.
Every week. Good
yes.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
And is your daughter leading worship or do you do it or?
Oh, neither.
Somebody.
We have pre-recorded worship that we
works.
Take in and put on the screen with the lyrics
Good.
So they can sing along.
It's always too high for me. Those pre-recorded ones, they like to sing it and cue it too high.
Yeah. Well, they do well. And one of the ladies has been called to be a worship leader herself. So
I love it.
She is just on fire. She's one of those that every week, as soon as I began to pray for her, she's in the floor. I mean, just the spirit hits her and she's just out. And
how the guards feel about her falling out.
They don't even care. You know, I was supposed to have an hour in there. I have 3 hours. They don't even bother to come and get us because I guess they just say, oh, well, they're still going. So, you know,
wow.
God's moving. As soon as I get home, we're going to have a water baptism service.
Is that
going to
be your
ladies.
First?
Yes. So.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad. This is... You know, this is uplifting just hearing this part of your story.
Yeah, it's
but
exciting.
I want to go deeper into Assemblies of God and your evangelistic work. How do you travel? What do? Where do you go? What is your ministry with the AG as an evangelist?
Well, I speak at a lot of women's conferences, and typically what happens is the pastor will ask me to stay over and speak on Sunday mornings. And so, like I said, my whole emphasis is the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at it this way, when I go into churches, I know that probably 90% of those people in those churches know Jesus.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But when I go into the jails and prisons, I know that at least 90% of them need Jesus. And so that gives you a whole different perspective. So when I go into churches, I want to empower them and equip them to do what God's called them to do, because they should already be. I mean, they have a pastor that should have already led them to where they need to be living in Jesus. But I want to empower them to go out and reach the lost and bring them into the church so that they can receive that discipleship that they need. And so that's how I like to partner with the churches is to help them, you know, equip their people, to give them that desire, that, you know, inspiration to know that they can reach the lost, that they can do this,
Good.
That it's not as hard as, you know, we make it out to be sometimes. It doesn't take an evangelist. It takes everybody.
It's going to take somebody that's called to do it because it's just so hard for people. You know, I remember one of the things that got me so hooked and went so deep is that they put us right to work going out in street ministries. This was back in the days of Bob Harrington, and, you know, I was down on Bourbon Street with people in Baton Rouge on the back of trucks, and I was singing and ministering, but I spent a lot of time in parking lots taking tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at 19. My wife and I were married at 19, and we went together, and we just did parking lot ministries with a lot of other young couples.
Mm-hmm.
But pure evangelism, and that really got me studying, and because a lot of times they were more prepared to fight me than I was to fight them
yes.
with the word. I wasn't that well. My sword wasn't sharp yet. But I just went off of what it did for me. I just told stories.
Yeah.
So tell me what you've learned just in your years of evangelizing and traveling from church to church, what's your big takeaway from those experiences that you've learned about evangelists?
Well, I have learned that we often think, well, I know from the beginning, I used to be really worried if I went to speak somewhere and they had a lot of pastors or something. I would be really worried thinking, I'm not going to measure up, you know, because they already have pastors on staff and everything. And what do I have that I can teach them that they already know? And the Holy Spirit, I remember I was sitting in my living room preparing for a message, and he simply asked me this question. He said, are you willing to look foolish for me? And I had to think about that for a minute.
Yeah,
because we don't want to look foolish,
no,
you know.
We'll be accepted.
And he began to speak to my heart about, you know, what is your focus on? Quit trying to sound intelligent. Quit trying to sound like you're, you know, as smart or smarter than some of the pastors there. Just do what I ask you to do. And
okay.
He gave me one of the simplest messages I have ever spoken on. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is the simplest message ever. They're just, you know, they've heard this a million times. And he just asked me to stick with it. And I said, okay, I will preach what you have asked me to preach. And I went in, and hundreds were baptized in the Holy Spirit in that service that morning.
No.
The power of God just moved in such
what a happens.
Miraculous way. And then that night I preached on healing, another very simple message, and many were healed in that service. So, you know, he just wants us to be obedient.
Come on.
And sometimes we try to sound so theological and so smart.
Or to give that new word, something fresh,
yeah,
something new.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting to do that. But
right.
Is the Holy Spirit asking you to do that?
That's it.
And that's where my focus is. He is my best friend. You know, I rely on him completely to lead me and guide me. Every church that I go into, I pray specifically for that congregation and ask, what do you want me to speak to them?
Yes.
And I believe that he will give me a fresh word for every congregation. I don't have to go, you know, trying to bring one up on my own, because he is the one who knows exactly who's going to be there, what they need, and I don't know that. And so he provides.
So somehow, some way, you found out that you could write the Word of God and hear from the Lord and develop it into a coherent message and write books. I don't know which of this group was your first one.
Beauty from Ashes, my Beauty testimony.
Okay. So pretty much a little bit of what we said. What else is in your book? I mean, it's a pretty book, My Story of Grace by Donna Sparks. Tell me about Beauty from Ashes.
So it shares my testimony, of course, but it also shares a lot of about how God calls us into ministry. Mm-hmm. And it reveals how he began to call me into ministry and a lot of the struggles that I went through in the beginning. Because we face a lot of opposition sometimes from people that are our friends, you know, sometimes people that we consider closest to us. And so it has a lot about, you know, the struggle of
so
ministry.
So who's it for? Who would be helped by that book?
Anyone who is going into ministry.
Okay.
Really.
And kicking and screaming the whole way,
yeah,
right?
Kicking and screaming the whole way. And just anyone that wants to be encouraged that God wants to use them.
Amen. So tell me about, first of all, the writing of that book. Did you know you were a writer? Did you have that?
No, I did not want to write a book. I argued with God up and down. I said, I do not want to write a book. Absolutely not. No way. And
well,
so,
you've got a good book company publishing you. I mean,
yeah.
You started
well,
with
he
a great
did
publisher.
It all. He did it all because you know how we try to make deals with God.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, I'm not going to write a book if I have to be self-published. I don't want to self-publish.
Nope.
I don't want to go that route. So if you provide me with an agent, an editor, and all of the stuff,
not too picky.
a traditional publisher, because I thought this was going to get me off the hook. You know, if I told him this, I wouldn't have to write a book. And it wasn't 2 or 3 weeks later, an individual contacted me and he said, you know, just in our conversation, we began to talk and he began to look at my writing, and he said, you know, I believe that God has asked me to be your editor and your agent.
Oh,
and he was already published. And so he did all the editing, he did everything, and got me published with Bridge Logos, and the rest is history.
I love it. So good. You've written No Limits. Was that your next book?
Mm-hmm. That was the second one, and okay. It just talks about some of the miracles that I've seen God do since he's called me into ministry. That one really needs to be updated because I've seen so much more. I need to write part two, I guess.
Well, a nice foreword by Don Wilkerson, right?
Yes, he's awesome. He is a powerful man of God.
So tell me about No Limits. What's
okay.
in No
it,
Limits?
It just has a lot of, you know, like the miracles that I've seen
okay.
since God
like
called
healings.
Me into ministry. Mm-hmm. It has testimonies of what I've seen him do in my own life and testimonies of what he's done in other lives. Real life story healings, you know,
yeah.
miracles. And
so that book's for anyone who needs their faith encouraged for miracles?
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe someone who's sick?
Mm-hmm.
Needs yep. to believe?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And then you wrote Masquerade. Is this about people who wear masks to church?
Not exactly, although it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a lot about false prophets and, you know, the enemy.
Okay.
You know, he masquerades as an angel of light. And
yep.
that's the whole verse that I based it off of. There's so much deception that we deal with. And especially now in the last days, I feel like he knows his time is short. And so he's doing everything. He's amping it up. We can see that in society every
yes.
day. But I go into some really tough topics.
Well, they're all tough topics
yeah,
if you're dealing with
all
that.
Of them. But I believe that God had me to write that book for such a time as this.
Good.
Definitely. So.
So you've done so many things and you've still got a lot of ministry life to go and you know, God's going to do a lot more with you. What do you think's coming? What's the Lord stirring up in your spirit? When he said to Timothy, almost any time he was around him, he was encouraging him to keep going, stir up the gift that's within you. How's the Lord stirring you today?
This is going to sound absolutely crazy.
Come
and
on,
off
with your
the
craziness.
Wall. But I believe in crazy, especially when God's involved, because he doesn't do normal. And so, just what's been on my heart here lately is, you know, like I said before, as an evangelist, I feel such a call toward the lost. And it's
good.
Not that I don't love going and ministering in churches, but I've just been praying, God, send me a giant tent. I will do tent revivals. I will hit the road.
That's not crazy.
You know, I had an evangelist.
I've preached in a few tents.
Yeah, really?
Yes, I have.
I think that would just be the most awesome thing. But an evangelist a long time ago said, you're going to be the next Amy Simple McPherson. And
okay.
I thought, who in the world is that? Because mm-hmm. I didn't even know at that time. I was just thinking, I hope she hadn't done anything really bad, you know. But as time has gone on, I start looking at her ministry and I think, you know what? She started out with a tent.
Many did.
But I feel that call back to the old ways. You know, it's the basics of the gospel that
mm-hmm.
people need. And we need to be speaking it. Our time is running
out. I'm going to do what Spurgeon did. I'm just going to get a log and get out in some holler in the country.
There you go.
And get on a log and go because I don't want to put up a tent. That's just too much work. Those big tents, those are hard. So I'm just going to go stand on a log and start.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and see who comes. But I'm being silly because I've watched people in tent ministries and they buy their tents and you know, I don't feel like you're crazy at all. I've seen it work, and I've seen people do it, and then I've seen people that didn't count the cost. But the most important thing that any of us can do is to be in season and to know where God wants us and how to do it. I'm telling you, you're in something now that's so powerful. You're doing podcasts. It's going international all over the world. People are going to hear you podcast, and that's bigger than any tent that you can ever put up. But at the same time, I'm saying do what God tells you to
yes.
do. But think about how many people are going to hear you across the world with this thought you have in your life to podcast. The name of your show is Navigating Life in the Spirit. Tell us about your last episode, what we would hear, and let's draw some people to listen to you on the Charisma Podcast Network. What is Navigating Life in the Spirit all about?
I believe it is following the guidance of the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our life, whether
yes.
we're walking through Walmart or, you know, wherever we are. we have got to be a people that's spirit-led, because in these days that we live in, we have got to have a message of hope, and the Holy Spirit provides that. And so that's my greatest thing. That's why I want to have people on that have had experiences that can help others. My last podcast was from a girl that I met at the ramp, actually, when we were there getting my daughter signed up. And she shares her testimony of how God absolutely rescued her from the clutches of homosexuality. And her podcast, I mean, the interview with her was so powerful. And I even showed it to my jail ladies, and they were weeping just in tears after they heard her testimony. And so that's what I hope to share. Testimonies and life experiences that demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit on a life.
When do you post your podcast? What day of the week?
They come out every Tuesday at 5 a.m.
Tuesday. So we know it's Tuesday morning. It gets up there whenever you want to after Tuesday. It's fresh.
Yes.
It's new for a week, and it sounds like they're all exciting. If you're giving those kinds of testimonies, it's good. It builds your faith. It's good for you. Again, that podcast is called Navigating Life in the Spirit. Don't miss it. Find it on the Charisma Podcast Network. We're going to close the show with an important question, and that's, tell me about your life verse or any verse that the Lord has on your heart right now. What's percolating through you? What are you thinking about in the Spirit?
Oh, there's so many right now. It's just hard to choose one. I guess the one that actually God used when he first called me into ministry was, you know, the Esther 4:14. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you have been called for such a time as this. And I do believe that God calls us for specific times. Like you said earlier, he has seasons where he raises up different individuals. And I believe that we are in a generation where he is raising up people to power, to move with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I'm seeing it and I'm living it. And that's where I lean on him.
Well, I'm speaking to a powerful evangelist who's called you for a time such as this. I like to tell young people who are on their way up and want a lot more than they're ready for, maybe, and don't want to discourage them because they could be anointed Timothys, but I like to say God is preparing you for a time such as that, that there's a time out there that you want, but you need to be prepared. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to spend some time getting ready, and look what you went through in life to give you your message. You know, that the last thing we need are people who are trying hard and have got the right heart, but yet don't have a message, don't have a life experience yet that they can really share. But, you know, God will use anyone and that humbles themselves and sits before them. And I just want to encourage everyone listening to make sure that we hear from the Holy Spirit, that we're led, and that we do what we need to do to prepare to move on. Do you have any last thoughts before we go?
No, I think that I've spoken quite a bit.
I thought you did great. I'd like to hear more from you. And we sure pray for you, and we're encouraged by all that you're doing. Your writing is terrific. Your podcast show, we're so honored to have you on the network. And then you as an evangelist, just the person of you, seeing you impart today, just catching your gift, has been a real honor. So I'm so thankful that you made an effort to get into the show live, to come in here into the studio. It blessed me today. I needed a dose of you. And pray for your family as you're traveling and driving, and that y'all are careful and that the Lord will protect you.
Thank you so much. It was such an honor to be on your show today. Loved it.
It was me and Adley's honor to have you. Adley and me, or whatever the right grammar is. I only worry about grammar when I'm writing. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I've been visiting with Donna Sparks. Her podcast is Navigating Life in the Spirit. She's got great books out. You've heard her testimony. You know about her prison ministry. I tell you what, I feel led to ask you to do right now, and that's to pray for her. This is a minister of the gospel who's doing lots of things and needs lots of prayer support. If you can't be out there active yourself, you can sure listen to her podcast and pray for her and her family for provision and protection and for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Again, you've been listening to Steve Green. This is the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is Green Lines. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we'd like to remind you at the end of every show that Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And may I suggest the baptism in the Holy Spirit. God bless you all.